You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Family Sunday. It's so great to have you all in the room. Look at you. You all look so amazing. You're all beautiful. Well, let's have a quick look at our photos from some of our families have shared them. Aren't they just beautiful? I'm just trying to find my absolute favourite, David and the Dinosaur. Yes. How great is that? Yes. Beautiful. Well, this is a photograph of my family. Hopefully that's coming up next. Yes. This is a classic Australian 80s photo. This was 1987, and my mother already had her 1988 bicentennial T-shirt. Aussie slogan T-shirts were all the rage, as were perms and some sort of unfortunate bowl haircut for my brother. Well, when it comes to family, perhaps you've heard people say that family is one of the greatest gifts we've been given, or that families are a blessing from God. And you might question the logic of those statements, especially if your own family doesn't always feel like a gift or a blessing. And I get it. Family dynamics can be messy. Who knows, behind all those photos we saw, family life can involve misunderstandings, conflicts, and hurt feelings. Let's face it. There are challenging days, there's arguments in the car, and the pressures of sharing the same spaces every day. Some of our most painful experiences can happen within family. You are not alone in this. But yet, families can also be a place of love, support, encouragement, and belonging. There are highlights. There are good days, cuddles and games, and inside jokes. In family, we find comfort, acceptance, and a deep connection through our shared experience. Family has got it all. And in the midst of your family, in all that is going on for you, God has given us the gift of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is an essential element in maintaining the strength and unity of our families. And today we're going to look at one of the messiest families in the Bible to see how forgiveness can bring transformation, healing, and restoration to our lives. But first, maybe you hear the word forgiveness and you feel a little sting or unsettled. Can I encourage you to allow Holy Spirit to speak to your heart throughout this message? It's okay to feel what you feel. You are not alone in this journey, and I hope that you find comfort and clarity in the process of exploring forgiveness. So let's watch this video on Joseph and his family.
Let's meet Joseph.
Hey!
Who had a coat of many colors. Joseph was also one of 12 brothers. Joseph was loved very much by his dad. But this made all his brothers really, really mad. So his brothers got together and came up with a plan to sell Joseph to a far-off land. This land was Egypt. He was made into a slave. But everyone he worked for liked how he behaved. The Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. And Joseph had to store food to feed the whole land. A famine came. That means there was no food to eat. And Joseph's brothers longed for even the tiniest treat. But Egypt was doing fine because of what Joseph had done. People everywhere came for food. Even his brothers came for some.
Hey.
They didn't recognize who Joseph had become. It had been many years since the bad things they had done. Joseph showed his brothers that it was him all along.
Ta-da!
They were scared he was mad about what they'd done wrong. But Joseph forgave them instead of being mad. He said that God can make good even out of the bad. God was with Joseph, even in this far-off land. He works all things for good because he always has a plan.
Well, Joseph's family began as a family divided. But by the end, despite Joseph having many reasons to withhold forgiveness, he chose to forgive his brothers and his family was reunited. Today, we are going to be exploring what forgiveness is and isn't, why we should learn to forgive, how to forgive, and the outcome of forgiveness. So let's begin with what is forgiveness? In the Bible, the Greek word translated as forgiveness literally means to let go, as when a person does not demand payment for a debt. We find the same meaning of forgiveness when Jesus taught his followers to pray in Luke 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. When we forgive someone, we are declaring that they no longer owe us anything. Their actions are now something they need to settle with God. When we examine Joseph's story, we see that he did not demand payment from his brothers for the wrongs they had inflicted upon him. Now, it would seem reasonable that he would feel that something would be owed to him. His brothers' actions resulted in Joseph being sold into slavery, imprisoned, and separated from his family for a long time. Joseph suffered significant harm and loss at the hands of his brothers. Yet, when Joseph's father had died and his brothers were scared that he would now seek revenge on them for what they had done, what was Joseph's response? Genesis 50, 19 to 21. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's response begins by assuring his brothers not to fear. He wasn't going to punish them or hurt them back. Now, I'm sure many of us can relate to being in the back seat of a car with a sibling when a brother or a sister hits, kicks, or invades our space. It can hurt or offend us. Well, hurting them back doesn't bring us healing. When we forgive, we release the desire to get them back and allow God to work in our hearts and the hearts of the one who hurt us. I want to be very clear here. Forgiveness is not condoning or saying someone's behaviour is appropriate or okay. Joseph doesn't downplay or ignore what his brothers did. He acknowledges that his brothers had committed an evil against him. Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me." And when Joseph says that they meant evil, they didn't just do something that happened to be evil. They had evil intentions. For Joseph, this was an incredible moment of speaking out the wrong that had happened to him. But yet Joseph had this profound view of God. Joseph recognizes that God is both sovereign and good, and that whilst his brothers had evil intentions, God's intentions were greater. Genesis 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God is the God of intention. He has a purpose, a target, a goal, and a plan. Joseph's struggles didn't catch God off guard. God has the highest authority and supreme power. He sees all, he knows all, and he's above all. His word will not return void. His plans will come to pass. This is what God as sovereign means. Proverbs 19, verse 21 reads, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." You know, when we hear the Lord's purpose prevail, we may not see it in our own lives yet. Remember, we're looking at the ending of Joseph's story. Our stories are not yet finished. Joseph has the benefit of hindsight. He could look back over his life and see through every step God had been with him, and God had used everything that happened to him to outwork good. God's plan saved Egypt from the devastating effects of the famine, and God's plan gave Joseph an opportunity to embrace forgiveness, heal broken relationships, and be reunited with his families. In our families, we often struggle to understand why there is pain and why those closest to us can hurt us. And whilst it's never God's intention to harm us, he can use all of our experiences, both good and bad, to train, test and prepare us for what lies ahead. As we navigate our own family dynamics, we can take comfort in knowing that even amidst the chaos and the challenges, God is with us. God has a plan. God has all authority and power, and He is more than able to outwork His intentions for good in our families. So why forgive? When it comes to forgiveness, Jesus has not asked us to do something He has not already modeled. Jesus gave His life so that we could be forgiven. In 1 John 2:2, Jesus died as a sacrifice to take the punishment for our sin. Then God could forgive us. Jesus did that not only for us, He did it for all people in the world so that God could forgive them for their sins. You know, when we remember this immense forgiveness we've received from God, this unearned, undeserved forgiveness, this incredible gift, the Holy Spirit who lives within us compels us to follow Jesus' example and extend forgiveness to others. We want to learn to forgive as God has forgiven us. And forgiveness is something we can choose to do. Joseph chose to forgive and opened the door to reconciliation with his family, but it also showed the condition of his heart and the character of God. Genesis 50:21. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's actions towards his brother mirror how God deals with us, offering forgiveness, care, and provision. You know, I don't know what God will do in your life and your family if you choose to forgive, but I do know that forgiveness brings freedom and restoration to our own lives and our hearts. When we forgive, we are walking in the ways of Jesus. A family that outworks forgiveness strengthens its own relationships and powerfully reveals the heart of God to the world. By showing love and understanding through forgiveness, our families become a living testimony to the transformative message of Jesus. So, who likes practical? Rainu likes practical. Let's give some steps of how to forgive. Well, we begin by acknowledging what happened. Forgiveness is not claiming our pain isn't genuine. It is genuine, and it did hurt. And it's okay to recognize that we've been hurt by someone's actions. We then bring it to God. Ask God to heal any lingering pain from the hurt. Trust that He can restore your peace and your joy. We can ask for God's help. Ask Him to soften our hearts and give you the strength to forgive. Reflect on God's forgiveness. Remember how God has forgiven you. Reflecting on His grace can inspire you to extend that same forgiveness to others. Choose to forgive. Decide to forgive the person, you know, even if you don't feel like it. You know, even if you're still hurt. Understand that forgiveness is a choice, not just a feeling. Communicate your forgiveness. If appropriate and safe, express your forgiveness to the person. This can help mend relationships and bring healing. Seek support. Talk to a trusted family member, teacher, leader, pastor, or a counsellor about your feelings. Sometimes sharing your burden with others can offer new perspectives and relief. And finally, move forward. Focus on building a positive future instead of dwelling on past hurts. Commit to moving on with hope. Remember that God has a good plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Forgiveness is a process that may take time, but with God's help, it is possible. So now that we know the hope, let's have a look at the outcome of forgiveness. And I'd like to warmly welcome Mason and Thea to join me. As they're coming up, you can have a wiggle, have a shake. Oh, okay. So come over this side, Thea. Well, first of all, can you guys show everybody how you clap your hands? Awesome, very well done. Give each other a high five. Great stuff. And what about a cuddle? Oh, all right. So Mason, I've got a job for you. Okay. So I want you to take this bag and hold it by the handles. And Thea, you're going to hang on and hold it nice and tight. All right. Okay, so let's talk about life and some of the things that can happen to us. So say there was a birthday party or a wedding and you weren't invited, and that kind of hurt because you thought you were friends. Thea, I want you to take one of those bottles in that bag and I want you to put it in Mason's bag. Now, somebody promised that they would do something, but they didn't follow through, and that made you feel sad and kind of disappointed. So Thea, put another bottle in the bag. Then somebody called you a name, or they said something about you that wasn't true, and that made you feel angry. So Thea, another bottle. Then you missed out on going somewhere and everybody else got to go, and that wasn't fair. So Thea, another bottle. Then somebody broke something that belonged to you. Thea, another bottle. Then you got into trouble for something you didn't do. Thea, another bottle. And then somebody left you, which really hurt because you love them. So Thea, I think how many's left? Let's put both those bottles in. How's it feeling, Mason?
Heavy.
Well, hold on. In our families, many things can happen that will hurt us. But when we take those things and all those feelings and we keep them on the inside and we don't forgive, it weighs us down. Mason, without letting go of that bag, can you give Thea a high five? You know, no, you got to hold on. You got to hold on. What about giving her a cuddle? It's pretty tricky, isn't it? This highlights how unforgiveness can become a heavy burden, trapping us in the past and preventing us from moving forward. Unforgiveness restricts us from having healthy relationships. It isolates us from others and from God. Mason, you can very gently put the bag down. Forgiveness is freedom from the weight and heaviness of the offense we've been carrying. Can you clap your hands? Come on, give Thea a high five. And because we need to say it one more time, a cuddle.
Yay!
Yay. Let's give them a clap as they return to their seats. Well done, guys. You know, Mason is now free to connect with Thea. He is no longer burdened or held back by unforgiveness. Choosing to forgive brings about a sense of freedom and joy within us. When we forgive, we take all of those things, the pain, the loss, the heartache, the burden, and we let them go. We leave what happened in God's sovereign hand and we move on. You know, at the beginning of this message, I shared a photo of my family. And what I love about this particular photo is it captures one moment of happiness. And I'd love to tell you that my family made it, that we are close and connected and united, but we didn't. I come from a family that is divided and still very broken. I haven't seen the fruit of reconciliation in my family of origin yet. You know, it hasn't been easy, but I have chosen to forgive, and I've had to keep choosing to forgive because I refuse to allow division and separation to continue into the next generation. I choose forgiveness and kindness because God has forgiven me. You know, as I've learnt to forgive, God has been my source of comfort and peace. Holy Spirit has been present with me when no one else could understand. God has helped me to let go of the pain and the burden so I can move forward in freedom. You know, I'm not broken. My past doesn't dictate my future. The family I have now with my children is a testimony, and my husband, leave you out, a testimony of choosing forgiveness. You know, yes, it's messy. There are challenging days and the car rides are rarely quiet. However, choosing to forgive has strengthened our family. We are united. We are strong and we love one another. You know, you can place your messy family situations in God's hands. You may not be in that place where you can look back and see God's hand over your family, but you can be assured that what's happening in your family hasn't caught God off guard. God is sovereign. He knows what's happening. Trust and believe that God is actively working in the lives of everyone involved, and His plans and His intentions are far greater than we can comprehend. Well, today I would like us to stand as family. Firstly, because I want to declare a blessing over every family represented here. But I also want us to stand for people in this room who come from a broken or divided family. You know, some of you have family members that won't speak to you. Some of you are separated from family, and others have been so hurt by family. I would love to pray with you that God will be with you just as God has been with me, and that Holy Spirit would lead you on the pathway to forgiveness. So as we stand, let's close our eyes. And if you would like to be included in this prayer, would you raise your hands to God? Dear God, we come before you today and we ask for a blessing upon every single family here. We thank you for this gift of family and for the love and connection it brings into our lives. We pray, Lord God, that our homes will be filled with your joy, your unity, and your peace. Today, we bring you our families, and we ask that you help us to take that step of walking in forgiveness. We cannot do this alone. We need your strength, your wisdom, and your guidance. In this moment, we acknowledge the hurt. And we pray that you would begin to do the work that only you can do of healing our hearts. Lord, grant strength to those facing challenges, healing to those who are hurting, and unity to those who feel divided. Help us choose forgiveness in our hearts and allow us to grow closer together, even in the face of challenges. God, we pray that our families will be a beacon of light that shines your love to this world. We pray for your protection over every single family, and that our families will walk out of here with your joy and in your freedom. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
What a powerful word. What an encouraging word. What a word straight from God's heart. You know, and I believe this morning, I wholeheartedly believe that this morning, if that was you and you said, you know, I need to see restoration in my family, as you've taken that step, as you've seen what Pastor Carey has spoken about, that God is working on your behalf. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So this morning, I declare that over you, just as Pastor Carey prayed, that he will work all things out for good. But you know, what a powerful message around forgiveness, the freedom and the joy that we experience when we forgive, that the weight of those bottles, the weight of the hurt, the pain is removed as we forgive. You know, but I love what Pastor Carey said in a message, and I'll quote this here. When we remember the immense forgiveness we've received from God, this unearned, undeserved forgiveness, this incredible gift, Holy Spirit who lives within us, compels us to follow Jesus' example and extend forgiveness to others. See, can I encourage you, my friends, this morning that a big part of being able to extend forgiveness to others is first receiving the forgiveness that Jesus has for you and I. See, my friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, can I encourage you? God loves you. God's heart is for you. God wants you to experience His love and His forgiveness. His unmerited favor, His unmerited forgiveness is for you. 1 John 4 verse 9 to 10 says this, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. God, in His great love, sent Jesus to live on the earth as a man. Jesus lived a perfect life, and that qualified Him to die on the cross for our sins, the things that we do wrong. But His death, burial, and resurrection created a way for us to be forgiven. So, you know, as I invite you to take your seats, I should have done that at the start, I just realized then. If you are today and you haven't received God's forgiveness, you know, you might have heard of God. I'm not talking about hearing about God, knowing about God, being to church even, but you haven't personally received His forgiveness through an acknowledgement of needing His forgiveness and a personal declaration of faith. I would love to give you the opportunity in this moment to do so. you know, God's heart is for you, a personal declaration of faith to believe in him and receive his forgiveness. This decision starts with a prayer that acknowledges your need for him and says that you believe in him, declaring him as God. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In a moment, my friends, the church is going to repeat this prayer after me. And if you say in your heart, do you know what? Maybe I've known about God. Maybe I walked closer with God before, but I haven't been forgiven. I haven't been restored to right relationship with God. Can I invite you to join in this prayer and join the church in repeating this prayer for me? So out of respect, can we bow our head and close our eyes? And church, would you repeat after me? And if you're praying that prayer, would you join in repeating as well? Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be buried and rise again for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong. I receive your forgiveness and I thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus, I declare you as Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Teach me to walk in your ways and to extend your forgiveness as I have received it. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.